I used to have to do that when I did theater.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields. Here we are.
Yes.
Back again.
It's we have some breaking news.
That just happened hours ago.
Yeah, not even that long ago.
Yeah,
I guess so. It was a couple hours ago.
Yeah, it was before lunchtime.
Yeah.
If you eat lunch at 10 o'clock. I mean, at 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, if you eat lunch.
That's what we're going to talk about today, partly, right?
It is, yes.
The breaking news.
The breaking news. I really feel like we, now that we've set it up like that, I feel like it needs to be more juicy.
Well, I mean, it's breaking in that it's renewed.
Like, I feel like that
renewed interest.
I feel like now we're
going
to have
issues.
To be like, Scott's pregnant or something like that.
But there's,
you know?
There's some new stuff we can talk about. There's a lot of new stuff to talk about in the breaking news.
Sound
well, freedom just now,
go
folks,
ahead.
If you didn't hear that.
Did
just
hear
went
that.
Overhead
some
F-16s. There. Those are F-16s going back to McIntyre or Saul, either one.
Scott, would you like to break the news to the group?
Yes. So the Municipal Association's Board of Directors held its final meeting of the calendar year this year, today rather, and accepted the 2024 advocacy initiatives that were recommended by the Municipal Association's Legislative Committee.
Right.
That met a couple of weeks ago. That legislative committee is chaired by Goose Creek Mayor Greg Habib.
Mm-hmm.
And Mayor Habib presented the advocacy initiatives to the board today. They accepted those. And then, so that's our official marching orders, the advocacy team and our communications team as well, starting in the session that starts next month, January. So these are familiar to everyone,
mm-hmm.
save for a new one that we can talk about.
Right. That might be the breaking news.
Yes.
So last year, the board adopted a 2023-2024 advocacy initiatives that included a long list of different things for us to, for the staff and our mayors and council members and staff and everybody to work on together.
Mm-hmm.
A good many of those issues were resolved either through budget proviso or permanent legislation.
Yep.
And then we've got four that we're still working on.
Yes.
So those are going to continue on into 2024. Several that everybody's familiar with. Hate crimes legislation. We are supporting the passage of a penalty enhancement for hate crimes.
Yep.
We have supported this for several years. This is nothing new to our members or anybody else.
Yeah, and it's passed the House of Representatives twice now.
Correct.
Including as late as this past session, and has always gotten stuck in the Senate. It's in the Senate now. It is actually on the Senate calendar. Is that correct? It's on the floor.
No.
Yeah, because you've got objections on it. You've
That's right. We've got two objections.
Yeah, there
on
are
it.
Two senators who have objections on it, which prevents it from being even debated.
That's correct.
Unless the Senate musters, what is it, a 2/3 vote in order to put that bill on what's called special order,
mm-hmm.
Which puts it at the top of the list of things that have to be debated.
Which forces debate.
Forces debate.
Yeah.
Unless those two senators remove their objections, that's the only way to get debate on the hate crimes bill. And of course, our position is, and that of a lot of even senators, is, hey, let's just have the debate and let's debate the bill and let's take a vote. And whoever comes out wins. That's the way it's supposed to work.
That's
should
correct.
Work. But we haven't gotten to that point. But the association supports the passage of a hate crimes legislation.
Yeah.
Because we're only one of two states in the country, Wyoming being the other, that does not have some sort of hate crimes legislation on the books and that would provide penalties for those who are found to have used one of the criteria in the bill as motivation for committing a crime against a particular person.
That's correct. So we are working on that. We are pushing that. We are supporting passage of hate crimes legislation.
Correct. That's right.
Specifically the Clementa Pinckney hate crimes bill.
Hate crimes bill, yes.
we're also supporting legislation that would allow cities and towns to close donut holes or close enclaves.
Yeah.
There are so many instances of cities and towns that look like Swiss cheese.
Yes.
Because there are pockets where it is not municipal areas, right?
Yes.
Is that the easiest way to explain it? It's a county pocket.
Yes, it is a pocket.
Although the city is in the county.
It is a pocket of county that is entirely surrounded by the city, over which the city has no jurisdiction.
Correct. So when you, and sometimes in neighborhoods, and I know this is true here in Columbia, one side of the street, you've got your city trash and your city recycling, mm-hmm. and they're served by City of Columbia Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
City, Richland County, you know, city fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side of the street, they have a different color recycling, different color bin because it's the county.
And they're
served by the sheriff.
And those enclaves, those donut holes, you have to drive through the city to get to those pockets of unincorporated county.
That's correct.
That is entirely surrounded by the city. We have a bill. Representative Marvin Pendarvis from North Charleston introduced a bill this past session that would allow city councils by ordinance to annex enclaves into their city limits if those enclaves had been surrounded by the city limits for more than 5 years
mm-hmm.
and they were 25 acres or less in total area.
So you want to hear a story?
Sure. I love
so
stories.
So before, I think you may have still been in Woodruff. Maybe you were a field service manager. Mm-hmm. This was probably 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Former Senator Glenn Reese owns Krispy Kreme, you know?
Yeah.
And we got him to package up. We bought boxes of Krispy Kreme donut holes,
mm-hmm.
and we distributed those all over to every legislator, every legislative office at the State House,
mm-hmm.
encouraging them to pass legislation that would allow us to enclose the donut holes, to get rid of donut holes.
How about that?
Isn't that neat?
That was before my time with the association.
Yeah, it was a shtick. We had a shtick.
It was symbolic.
Yeah, it was symbolic. You sounded like you were like a mob boss. Yeah, that. So, you know,
this
bill has a lot of people that don't like it.
This is a perennial issue that appears on our advocacy initiatives list because our members tell us every year when we hold regional advocacy meetings across the state that, hey, this is a priority. This is an issue. We need
yes.
to do it. 100% agree, but we need help from our members by going to their legislators and telling their legislators what the problems are that are created by enclaves and telling them we have a solution to this issue.
Yes.
Until we can get a critical mass of interested legislators
yes.
moving on this bill,
yes.
we're just going to keep putting it on this list year after year.
We're just going to keep pushing it because this, I believe, annexation was why this association was formed.
Back in 1939. Right.
Yes. 1930?
Mr. Producer. He's just corrected us again, which is good. That's why he's here.
That's why we like him. That's
yeah.
why we keep
We're
him around.
We're just the talent.
Look, I can't be held accountable.
Right.
All I am is talent. Okay? All I am is talent.
What else?
You know, it's funny because with the regional advocacy meetings, I'm the talent manager and y'all are the talent.
You know,
and it's so frustrating to have to manage talent.
We really need to be careful in calling ourselves talent because there are going to be a lot of objections from people when they hear us say that.
Please don't give us a bad
review
on wherever you give reviews.
They're going to scoff derisively.
Another proactive issue, offensive issue that we're going to work on is the zero millage issue.
Yeah.
There are how many cities and towns, Scott?
59, according to Erica Wright. I used to think there were 60, but she says there's only 59. So
that do not impose a millage.
A property tax millage.
Okay.
Yes.
I want you to, in 30 seconds or less, mm-hmm. tell our listener, remind our listener what a millage is.
It's property tax levy. It's the 1 mil equals 0.001, okay? And you apply that, you multiply that times the assessed value of a piece of property, and that yields the amount of property tax that that property owner pays to schools, counties, cities, and towns.
Okay, that was an excellent description. Appreciate that.
So, and I'll give you an example. If I have a piece of property whose assessed value is $1,000,
Okay.
And my property tax millage, my total millage, the number of mills that I levy is 0.001, okay, is 1 mill.
Okay.
Then that means I'm going to pay $1 in property taxes.
Okay. Now, do all cities and towns levy the same amount of millage?
They do not.
And does a mill, is the value of a mill the same in every city or town?
It is not.
Okay. Well, that certainly makes it complicated, doesn't it?
It does, but there's math. I mean, math works in
right.
these cases.
Even you really do need math after you
math.
Leave high school,
I
right?
can even do this math. But there are 59 cities and towns across the state who do not levy property tax millage.
Which means they do not get any sort of revenue
from property taxes.
From property taxes.
Correct.
Okay.
Most of these are very small, and they maybe necessarily don't need property tax millage. But there
right.
are some who do, who used to have it, repealed it,
okay,
and now they need it again. But
right.
The Attorney General, a number of years ago, issued an opinion that said because of the restrictions found in Act 388,
right,
that
there it is
that a city who doesn't levy millage today, in other words, their property tax millage number is zero. Anytime you multiply zero times whatever the CPI plus the growth rate is in that city,
right,
which is the restrictions under Act 388, you can only raise your millage by the combination of CPI plus growth, that percentage,
right.
Zero times whatever the CPI is plus whatever your growth rate is always
zero.
Zero.
Because zero times anything is always zero.
That is correct. So
hello, third grade.
Based on that opinion, cities and towns who don't levy millage are under the presumption that they cannot. Now, I disagree with that.
Of course.
I think they could and they should, but that's just me. I'm not an
right.
attorney.
Right.
I'm just asking
questions.
I'm a former city manager hack who is willing to ask questions. And in fact, there are legislators who agree that the General Assembly's intent with Act 388 was to not deny forever
right.
a city's ability to levy property taxes that had a zero millage.
Because wouldn't it be where a former council could not bind a future council?
That's a good argument.
That you know, it's kind of like yep. one General Assembly can't bind a future General Assembly about, because if one council repeals the millage, then they're basically saying you can never do this ever again.
Under this opinion, newly incorporated cities or towns cannot
right.
levy property taxes. So Van Wack,
so I was
when they,
say Van Wack when, doesn't have a millage.
When they incorporated in 2018, I guess mm-hmm. it was, 2017, 2018, They wanted to levy
right.
a property
they
tax,
couldn't
they couldn't do it under this opinion.
Uh-huh.
So we have been fortunate to work with a couple senators over the years who have introduced legislation that would allow cities and towns with no millage to levy that millage
Excellent.
Under certain circumstances and under certain conditions and limits. We got it passed out of the Senate several years ago, got over to the House and got tangled up with some other stuff and died. And so Erica Wright on our staff is efforting that again this session. She's had good conversations with the same sponsors and the same supporters
mm-hmm.
from the last time we were successful. And we hope to get it moving this session. If we don't get it done this session, then certainly we'll start over again and try in 2025.
And that's, Scott, you bring up a really good point, because since this is the second part of a two-year session, it's a little bit more... We're under the gun a little bit
yeah.
more. It's a little bit more of a ticking clock because, you know, once you get to crossover in April, which is the day that legislation has to pass out of its originating chamber, it's just going to get a little time sensitive.
Very much.
So big issues that usually take two sessions, I'm not saying zero millage is a big issue, but, you know, bigger issues might mm-hmm. take precedence over
yeah.
other issues.
Well,
so
and plus
an election year
and we and as
budget,
we and as we've
blah,
talked
blah,
about
blah.
All the culture war issues are going to take up time.
Yeah,
on the calendar,
I read a
so,
newspaper
yeah.
article in the state newspaper, I believe, about the bathroom bill is coming back.
Really?
Yes. Some female members, female House members of the Freedom Caucus,
really,
are supporting, yes, a bathroom bill similar. I don't know.
It's all wrapped up in trans stuff too, isn't it?
Yes, it's very much around the transgender issue. Gotcha. So that is something else that is going to go on. Not to mention election. I mean, the list could go on and on. We've already talked about all this stuff.
As Frank Costanza famously repeated and yelled, "Serenity now."
Right. We couldn't get through Mr. Producer without a quote from Seinfeld. Another proactive issue, a new issue.
Well, Matt, hang on.
Okay, but
there's one at the top of the list. You missed the top of the list.
I realized that I was doing proactive.
Gotcha.
And then
gotcha.
I was going to go back and talk about.
Okay.
You feel me?
See, this is.
You smell what I'm cooking?
We did not do any show prep, folks. So this is what happens.
Well, this is what happens when you got talent. You just do it.
That's right.
And then you work it out on air.
Yes.
In front of everybody.
Yes.
The new addition to the 2024 advocacy initiatives is to support additional funding and services or additional resources and funding for mental health services.
Yes.
We have heard specifically from Mayor Greg Habib in Goose Creek and other mayors from around the state that mental health services are sorely lacking in their cities and towns.
Yeah. Well,
and their residents are in dire need
across the state in general. Yes. Yeah.
But they are looking for ways to increase mental health services
because
and resources.
People who need mental health services they manifest in a lot of different ways for cities and towns. Increases. They're frequent flyers with police officers.
Yes.
With the police
department. Frequent visitors to emergency rooms.
Emergency rooms. Mm-hmm. Many of our homeless population suffer from some sort of mental issues that for which they need help.
Yes.
And those have a direct effect on the way our cities and towns operate across the state. You know, there are support services, as we've talked about before, for PTSD treatment services for our public safety officials, for instance.
I mean, very proud of the work that we've done on that.
You know, our cities and towns that provide health insurance programs for their employees, generally there are employee assistance programs that would provide mental health services for those employees. And so while there are lots of opportunities for employees and the city operations to benefit from mental health services, it's the residents more broadly that Mayor Habib and other members of the board of directors see need the help. And while they don't necessarily, they do have an effect on city operations, not as directly as, you know, PTSD services and these other things, but they do have an effect on the priorities that our cities and towns have with regard to budgeting services that they provide and how to mitigate some of the issues that are caused by people who have mental health needs.
It is a strain on a lot of services.
Yes.
In the on cities.
Yes.
And I totally see the need, you know, for us to get involved. And we've already reached out to South Carolina Department of Mental Health.
Yep.
And some other partners around the state that are offering services where we can kind of fit in as a partner, right?
100%.
As a supporter.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't even really have a good grasp on what is available to cities and towns and to their residents with regard to mental health services. For instance, Department of Mental Health told us when we inquired with them not too long ago, pursuant to this initiative, hey, we've got 16 service centers across the state that provide a variety of mental health services. They're located in your communities or very near your communities across the state. And they said, you know, we've just never done a very good job of reaching out to city officials to let them know what we do and what we have available. We're going to help fix that. We are going to invite DMH and other service providers to come and talk to our officials, our mayors, council members, managers, administrators, and others, HR managers, police chiefs, fire chiefs, about the services that are already available. We just don't know about them. So that's an easy win for us right there.
So easy. And you know, we've got another, not necessarily, we can always support additional funding in the state budget for mental health services.
Yes.
But it's also another issue where it may not be all legislative, just like you 100%. Just talked about. It is a community thing, and it is outside of the legislative realm. And well, it's an advocacy situation, not necessarily not a bill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We are supportive of all these things.
Yes.
And our advocacy is not just advocating for things, legislation.
Not everything is solved with legislation.
No, 100%. Yeah. So that's a more comprehensive. We use the word advocacy in a comprehensive way.
Broad advocacy
inside of our building, partnering with Cassie Aaliyah, as we alluded to last week after she came and spoke to the mayors. That is right up this alley here.
Absolutely.
And so we'll be doing this in the coming year. Listener, you will be receiving information from us. We're going to do some training sessions at the annual meeting next summer. And there'll be other opportunities that we're going to work to present to everyone to find out more about mental health services that are available now. And then we'll also be exploring and supporting others who may have initiatives going on around the state, either in the state house or elsewhere. Yes. And we'll lend our support there as well.
And I'm sure we're going to talk about it on the podcast too. Maybe some special podcasts that we can have that
100%.
Will bring awareness to the issue for our elected officials.
Yeah.
So the last issue, and I'm going back. I should have told you that I was going to do proactive first and then go back. But there is one defensive issue on this, and that is to protect the authority of cities and towns to regulate, to manage short-term rentals in their communities.
Yes.
There was a bill that was introduced last year. There was a bill that has been filed this year that would take away that ability.
Yes.
And I think I probably can't state this strongly enough, but our mayors and council members and many of our residents that we've heard from, they feel pretty strongly about local control on this issue.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, to say the least.
Because the residents are the ones who, the permanent residents.
Yes.
Are the ones who are having to deal with the consequences of the proliferation of short-term rentals.
That's right.
In their neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Across their cities.
That's right.
That's just at the street level, the resident level. Then cities and towns are having to deal with short-term rentals with regard to increased police calls, fire calls, code enforcement, other issues. 95% of short-term rental operators and guests across the state do it well. You'd never know that they were there, but it's, as usual, it's the bad apples that are causing some of the bulk of the problems across the state. General Assembly, some members of General Assembly don't want local officials to deal with local problems, so they want to preempt you from being able to regulate short-term rentals as you and your residents and your short-term rental operators compromise and agree to going forward. So we will be vigorously defending your authority to regulate those. You've heard us talk about this 100 times, but this is still the top defensive issue going into 2024 for the Municipal Association.
And last year, the bill that was introduced by Representative Lee Hewitt, and we've talked about it a good bit on the podcast, that got 2 subcommittee hearings, but it never moved out of the 3M subcommittee, the House 3M subcommittee. There's been no bill introduced in the Senate. These are House bills that
Correct.
We're talking about. Yep. So we, like you said, that is pretty high on our...
But if you'll recall, there was an effort in the Senate during the budget debate
to
insert a proviso that would have accomplished this.
Yes.
But for the valiant and valiant effort and the attention paid by Senator Chip Campson from Isle of Palms, that thing may have gotten inserted.
Well, if you remember, there was a proviso that came across from the House version of the budget that was removed in Senate Finance.
Yeah.
And then others tried to do it on
the
floor.
You got to be vigilant.
So you just always have to pay attention.
Got to be vigilant.
And listen, when it gets down to especially the second session of a 2-year, and you get down to those last couple of days, people are amending. And, I mean, it's wild.
What did he say? Is that what I heard him?
Right.
Is that
exactly.
what I heard her say?
I mean, like, our text messages are just beow, beow, beow. Like, everybody's losing their mind. Well, they just say, where are you? Where are you? No, where are you? What are you doing? Who are you talking to?
Yeah.
Now let's talk briefly, because I don't want to bore our
listener. We're not going to talk about all these.
I don't want to get into.
There's a whole line, long list here.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about all of them, because I feel like we're just going to bore everybody. Plus, I've heard this so many times.
What?
This list.
Oh. Yes, you have.
We don't need to sit here and rehash all of this. What are your top five?
So I think my top five issues, these are issues that we expect that we're going to be working on. We know we're going to be working on some of these. These are not necessarily adopted or approved advocacy initiatives, but these are things that we are proactively working on or expect to work on. But yes. What I'll talk about first is what we know we're going to be working on, and by way of conversations that we've had with either legislators or other advocacy groups. The Abandoned Buildings Revitalization Act is an important tool that cities, towns, and developers use to help rehabilitate abandoned buildings, older buildings, particularly in downtowns. That it's a tax credit program that helps provide funding for rehabilitating buildings. That the current law is set to sunset at the end of 2025. We are working with the development community right now to get a bill introduced that would hopefully get rid of the sunset. But if we can't get rid of the sunset, then it would extend it for 10 years out to 2035. So we know we'll be working on that. There is a bill that Senator Tom Davis has filed that would that deals with impact fees,
right?
That would reduce some of the administrative hurdles that cities and towns and counties have to jump through in order to enact impact fees. It would also loosen up the things on which impact fees could be spent. It would get rid of an arbitrary cap on the amount of dollars you can spend on rolling stock, and would also extend the amount of time that you would have to spend impact fees from what it is currently in law. So we know we're going to be working on that.
Okay.
Liquor liability is also a big issue. I would dare say if you haven't heard, number one, from one of your local businesses already,
yep, that serves alcohol, and bars, yep.
Or if you haven't read an article in a newspaper about this issue, you've been living under a rock.
Right.
Because this is an issue that has emerged over the last year or two. And I think we've talked about it before, Casey.
We have.
But this is the law that requires establishments that serve alcohol after 5 o'clock to carry $1 million of liability insurance per occurrence. As a result, premiums for these policies have started to go through the roof, which is now driving small businesses in particular out of business.
Right.
Something's got to be done to save our small businesses from this growing problem. We also know that there is interest in dealing with the liberal use, the unintended use, if you will, okay, of a change in state law with regard to housing authorities, public housing authorities.
Okay.
So that cities and towns are losing property tax revenue because of certain transactions taking place on affordable housing complexes. So the gist of it is a developer who qualifies under this program buys an existing property, apartment complex that has some affordable housing element. That affordable housing complex or has that element is paying property taxes today. The developer gets qualified through this change that took place in the state law, and tomorrow they don't have to pay property taxes.
Done.
They get 100% discount on their property taxes,
which was not the intent when the legislation was passed. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But that has been done.
That is correct. There's a variety of other things we'll be working on, and this is what we know about.
Right.
This doesn't even contemplate.
No. What?
What we don't know about?
Because we all know that legislators file bills before the session starts, but that really doesn't that doesn't do anything for the bill.
No.
It just puts it out there. Yeah. But every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, new bills are introduced.
When the session starts.
Yeah. Now, once we get closer and closer to the end of the session, those kind of ease up. But toward the beginning of the session, there's still new bills being introduced. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every day we see something new, and there's no telling what could come out. We're still looking at the social issues, like you said, mm-hmm. the culture wars, but we're also looking at judicial reform. There was a meeting today, the House ad hoc committee that is tackling judicial election reform. That was meeting today, Wednesday.
They're still going, as far as I know.
Yeah. So, you know, there are a lot of other factors, elections, culture wars, judicial reform, all these other things that are at play while we're dealing with the advocacy initiatives and all of these other issues that we've either been approached about or that we're already working on, right?
The lobby's going to be insane this session.
It's going to be wild. It is going to be a circus.
That's why I'm happy that we've got a little bit of a holiday break upcoming so we can all
get away from each other,
rest,
since
and
we're going to be around each other a
and
lot.
And get ready for the chaos.
Well, speaking of a circus, I have your trivia question.
Sure.
It has nothing to do with the circus.
Okay, good. That's
all right. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah.
The last surviving covered bridge in South Carolina is located near what municipality?
I know where it is. I know exactly where it is because it is located about 5 minutes from where I grew up.
Okay.
And in fact, each time I would drive to my Aunt Maggie Campbell and Arlie Campbell's house, I would have to drive directly by Campbell's Covered Bridge, which is located just off of Highway 414.
Okay.
And Mr. Producer, I know the two closest cities, but since my Aunt Maggie's address in the dark corner was a Landrum address, I am going to say that it is closest to Landrum, which was also the rival high school of Blue Ridge High School back in the 80s.
Yeah, that's right, Scott. Yeah. I knew when you started talking about your Aunt Maggie that we were done.
Campbell Covered Bridge was privately owned up until, I don't know, a good number of years ago when Greenville County Parks and Rec Department came in and was able to purchase the property and turn it into a county park.
Can you still walk across the covered, through the covered bridge?
Oh, 100%. And I'm glad the county took ownership of it.
Fun little field trip.
Because it was always subject to graffiti and vandalism. People would go down there and, you know, but yes, you can drive in there and you could always drive to it. In fact, it wasn't until probably the county took ownership of it that you could still drive through it.
Okay.
But nobody ever did because we were always afraid to drive through it. If we took Frank through it, we were afraid he might fall in with us in him. So we never did that.
Whenever I know when I ask a trivia question and you begin to answer and it's a story about something, I know that story, it may start all the way over here, but you're coming back around and you're going to get the answer.
Campbell Covered Bridge is...
We're going to have to come up with something harder.
Sits in the shadow of Hogback Mountain, Glassy Mountain.
Here we go.
Callahan Mountain.
When you said Aunt Maggie Campbell, I was like, well, I'm done. That's it.
She was my Uncle Arlie and his brother Q Campbell. All the Campbell, Woodrow Campbell. They were all the Campbells of Campbell Covered Bridge.
Now, is that
Bridge
your mama's side or your daddy's side?
That's my mama's side.
That's your mama's side. Yeah. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, no, all of my daddy's side were Howards and Slattons, which are all up in that part of the
And
of
all
the world.
Of them, they were all concentrated in Blue Ridge?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Unlike my family, which goes into the PD.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were
Fields
all...
Fields and Rollins and Lucas's from...
We were all largely confined to the dark corner. That's correct.
Well, that explains a lot. Mr. Producer, if I'm correct, we're going to take a break over the holidays from the dome to your home. And session starts back Tuesday, January the 9th.
Correct.
And we will be on our regular every Friday. You're going to hear from us every week schedule through middle or end of May.
Let's hope it's that soon.
Then
that
we
early.
Might then we might let Mr. Producer sprinkle in some other.
Well, it'll be Achievement Award podcast time by
that's
then,
right.
right?
That's right. It'll be some other things if we are, you know, if
we'll
we allow
our,
it.
We'll make we'll our have irregular to do, appearances we'll over the summer.
We'll have to do election, you know, podcasts. We'll have to do, you know, there'll be a lot. We'll be busy.
Congratulations to Phil Cromer, one of our, formerly
right,
one of our own
employees.
Who's now the mayor of Beaufort.
That's so, right. Congratulations, Phil.
Phil, if you're listening, we're here if you need us.
Phil, I hope you're listening. Phil, I hope you've been listening this entire time.
He probably hasn't.
He probably hasn't. everybody, have a wonderful holiday season, and we will see you back for the start of the 2024 legislative session. Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.